Tessa D'Arcangelo turned the lights down low and snuggled against her husband, Julian, the sight of four sleeping children and the twinkling Christmas tree making her smile. Chase had crashed on the recliner, a Lego thingy of his own creation clutched in his hand. Mare lay next to the tree. Addie had fallen asleep with her face in her Santa coloring book. Little Tristan was curled up on the dog bed with his blankie and Shadow, their nine-month-old German Shepherd puppy.
"At last," she said. "Silence."
Julian chuckled, his fingers threading through hers, his lips brushing her cheek. "Think we can slip away for a little adult playtime?" She laughed.
"Mark and Sophie will be here soon."
They were watching Chase and Addie tonight so that Mark and Sophie could go to the newspaper's holiday party. It had been a happy kind of chaos, the house taken over by four kids, ages 7 and under. Together, she and Julian had managed to feed them all, keep them entertained, and prevent them from hurting themselves or each other. It felt like an accomplishment. She smiled, an image of Julian giving the kids reindeer rides on his back flashing through her mind.
"You know what I love about you?"
"Yeah, I do. It sits about 4 inches below my navel." She laughed, gave his ribs a nudge with her elbow.
"I love how sweet you are with children. I would never have imagined that the big, bad FBI agent I met all those years ago would be a teddy bear with little kids."
He kissed her hair. "Anything good in me comes from loving you." She knew that wasn't true, but she didn't say so. She snuggled into the hard wall of his chest, allowed herself to relax and savor the moment. Neither she nor Julian had had Christmases like this as children. But together, they were discovering new joys, giving their kids the things they'd never had. Julian's work phone rang.
"Shit."
Julian kissed her again.
"I've got to get this."
He leaned forward, grabbed his phone from the coffee table.
"D'Arcangelo."
He stood, his expression turning dark.
"Son of a bitch.
How long ago?" Tessa's pulse skipped. She stood and followed Julian toward their bedroom, his questions and the tension on his face leaving no doubt. Something terrible had happened. He opened the closet, tossed his night BDUs onto the bed.
"Did they know how many? Did they get out? Damn it. I'm on my way. Yeah, I'll meet you there."
"What is it? What happened?"
He stripped off his jeans and shirt, his blue eyes hard.
"Terrorists attacked the Palace Hotel. Everyone who didn't get out has been taken hostage."
"What?"
Tessa's heart gave a hard knock, breath rushing from her lungs.
"That's where the I-Team party is."
Julian tied his dark hair back in a short ponytail and then yanked a black turtleneck over his head.
"The British Consulate General was also having its Christmas party tonight. Cops on the ground say the British ambassador got away, but the bastards caught the Secretary of State and her entourage at the back exit. Reese, Kara, and Sophie were with her."
"Oh, no."
Tessa sank onto the bed.
"What about the others?"
A muscle clenched in his jaw.
"Hunter broke away. He was feeding intel to Irving for a while. He told the old man that a group of combatants was setting up an M2. That's a heavy machine gun, on the roof, and that he was going to try to stop them. Irving has tried reaching him, but hasn't heard back since."
"Dear God."
Mark was Julian's best friend. He and Sophie and Reese and Kara were like family. If anything happened to him, to any of them.
"And the others?"
Julian stepped into his pants, yanked up the zipper, reached for the shirt.
"Hunter told Irving Holly was down. He didn't know whether she was alive or..."
"Sweet Jesus."
Tessa's stomach knotted.
"Does Nick know?"
The two were just shy of their first wedding anniversary.
"Irving didn't say."
Julian pulled the t-shirt over his head.
"Who would do this?"
"We don't know. Yet. But we're going to find out. And they're going to pay."
For a moment, neither of them spoke. Julian stepping into his black boots and lacing them. He unlocked the gun safe in the back of their closet, took out a pistol, and slipped it into his shoulder holster. Then grabbed his rifle case and his gear bag.
"I probably won't be home tonight. Don't wait up."